Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Love Freak Podcast, where we are aligning with love and creating beautiful, beautiful things in this world. I am so grateful to have you as a listener, truly. It means a lot that you are giving me your time and your energy, and I truly hope that this podcast is giving more meaning to your experience and is leading you down a road of more expansion and growth. I know it's definitely been that for me. And that's all I could ever ask for and hope for, as the creator of this podcast, that you are just getting so much out of it. So if you've been following me on social media lately, you know that I just recently was on a huge adventure in Turkey. Yes, Turkey. And I'm sure that you probably, oh my gosh, were so annoyed with me with the amount of photos that I posted all over my social media accounts. But truly, it was such an incredible experience, just filled with so much inspiration and truly just so much magic. Not to mention, it felt so wonderful, just being able to be vaccinated and back traveling internationally after this super crazy year. I know you've probably been feeling it too, but I've just been so ready to just explore the world again. I realized that every time that I travel, I realize just how necessary it is for my growth. It reminds me how stuck we can often get in our little proverbial boxes that we establish for ourselves. And if you're anything at all like me, when I'm home, I kind of do the same routines over and over again. I go to the same places. I see the same people who usually think very similar to me. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're the kind of person who loves routine, if you're more of a type A personality, you might be thinking like, oh, this is my heaven. It's great. And that's great. I think we should all have our personal, you know, places of safety and comfort. I think that's very, very important. But what I also think is important is being able to get out of our normalities and to try a new routine, to experience a new culture, and to try and understand it. You don't always have to agree with it, but, you know, try to speak a new language. Try to meet new people who see the world from a different perspective. When I was in Turkey, there was such an unfamiliarity at times, a bit of feeling really uncomfortable because I didn't understand the culture or the language. But it gifted me with a new, deeper knowing and understanding of something beyond me, totally outside of anything that I've ever known. And with that, I'm able to understand the world and people a little bit better, and to be able to offer more compassion and more empathy in places that I've been lacking to do so. But I also learn a lot more about myself, you know, what I believe and why I believe it, and how I want to show up in this world, how I want to create my experience and share my experience with other people. There's just so much inspiration. And something else that I feel is really important, there are so many people who reached out to me asking, why Turkey? And are you safe? You know, is Turkey a cool place? And I think that there's been such a Western idea that we've developed that has kind of given us a false understanding of this really, really beautiful, incredible country. And I'm guilty of it too. I mean, just like anywhere you go, you obviously have to be safe and you have to stay aware. And there's places that you do go and you don't go, you know. But I remember feeling super anxious before getting on the plane, like I was flying into a war zone or something crazy like that. But the truth is that my idea that I had conceived in my head was completely false and my narrative was completely wrong. But it took me getting out and seeing it for myself and meeting the people and asking them questions and sharing stories and loving them and letting them love me. And then my world just completely opened up and my paradigm shifted when I allowed myself to learn and to do the research. But I know this can sometimes be a very cliche statement, but we have to allow ourselves to go outside of our comfort zones. We can always go back there. You know what I'm saying? They can be a safe place to rest, but we have to venture out. How many times have you pushed yourself outside of your comfort zone and you never went back because you realized it wasn't as scary as you thought it would be, or you know, it was, you were totally fine, that your fear was kind of lying to you. And I remember when I first started paddleboarding, I was so totally afraid of the ocean. And honestly, I still am. But I was so afraid to leave the marina to go out into the open ocean. But I wanted to go into the ocean so bad because I wanted to prove to myself that I could. I hate, especially in the last recent years, I hate letting this fear mentality control me. So what I would do is I would paddle my nose of my board out of the marina into the ocean just a little bit, you know, on day one. And then I would paddle back in the marina. And then the next day I would paddle a little bit more of my board out, and then I would paddle back into the marina, and so on and so forth, until finally my whole board was in the ocean. And then I paddled back in, of course. But every day after that, I would go a little bit further out and a little bit further out. And eventually, I was paddling a couple of miles out into the open ocean. And I was still scared and I was still uncomfortable. But my goodness, the freedom. And man, like, just the gifts that would show up. I remember one day I was paddling, and my boyfriend Mike said, "Court, look behind you." Now, mind you, we were like out. We were a good bit out. And it was, you know, earlier in the morning, pretty quiet out there. He said, "Court, look behind you." So I turn around and I swear to you, there was a pod of about 60 to 75 dolphins jumping in and out of the water, swimming right towards me. And I sat down on my board, and they just started jumping over me and swimming under me. And I just started crying, not because I was scared, but because it was one of, if not the most magical thing I've ever experienced in my whole life, just to be so connected with something so divine and so beyond me, so much bigger than me, and to be able to have been a part of it. It was just so beautiful. The culture of the ocean, just to be a part of that culture and these dolphins accepting me into that. It was so magical. And if I would have been too afraid to go beyond that point, I never would have had that experience. And that just makes me so sad to think about that. And I think about that in other things that I'm afraid of. What else am I afraid of that I'm not letting myself do, that I'm holding myself back from some of these beautiful experiences? There's so much beauty in this world, and there's so much beyond what we know. We just have to make the choice to let ourselves seek it and experience it and not let fear hold us back. And I know it's not always easy. It's a process, right? But all of this to say, this is why I love to travel when I'm able. It makes me feel the most alive that I can feel, the most expanded and the most connected to everything. It's like, for me, I realize once I get out of my box, I see how small I let myself live. You know, you realize how conditioned a lot of your beliefs are because you experience people living completely different than you, and you're able to see and understand a new way or see it from an angle you've never thought of before. And it just expands your mind and ultimately your heart. And that's the purpose of this life, I feel like, is to just expand and to grow. And it's just, it's such a beautiful thing. So just to shift a little bit, I'm just going to give you a quick little rundown of our trip so you kind of know, you know, some of the spots that we kind of touched on and kind of what we did. So we were there for a month and it was wild and crazy. We flew into Istanbul and we stayed there for a few nights and we recovered from a pretty intense jet lag. It was a 10-hour time difference for us. So it was, it was a lot. And it was a lot when we came back too. Mike was actually a lot better than I was, but Mike's my boyfriend for those of you just tuning in for the first time. But yeah, I struggled with that one. But we rented a car and for the next month we cruised around a lot of the coastal area. So we started to drive along the west coast of Turkey, starting in a town called Çeşme, just right west of Izmir. And I had one of my favorite meals I've ever had there ever. It was so good. It was just like fish they had just pulled out of the ocean. They like debone it right there for you and they give you this incredible like pilaf. I forget what grain it was that they had, but it wasn't rice, but it was magical. And this Turkish tzatziki that they created that had all these incredible nuts in it and oils. Oh, it was just a beautiful, beautiful meal. But then after that, we kind of drove through a town called Kuşadasi, where we, I think it's Kuşadasi, I believe is what it is. But we stopped at the ancient city of Ephesus. And if you're a Bible reader, you know that the New Testament, the book of Ephesians was written to the people of Ephesus by the Apostle Paul when he was in prison in Rome. And that city was crazy cool. Throughout all of the earthquakes and the weather patterns, so much of that city still exists. And it just felt like such a gift to be there at this point in history to see that, because who knows when another earthquake's going to come and knock it down and make it no more. And we basically had the whole site to ourselves. People were still kind of slowly coming back in due to the whole COVID thing. And so there was barely anybody there. I was able to sing in one of these open, you know, amphitheaters, like kind of those old, like Roman looking amphitheaters, which you can see on my Instagram. I sang my song, Right Direction. So fun. And then we went through some more of the southern coastal towns, which if you look at a map, we pretty much just kind of stopped at all these little places along there. And they were truly some of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. The bluest, cleanest water, and some of the most happy, most loving, caring people that you'll ever meet in the whole world. They were so welcoming. And, I noticed how cool they are with me not knowing the language. Obviously, the Turkish language is so intense, and I was very overwhelmed. I felt like, you know, there was not, sometimes when you're in Italy or you go, you know, you're speaking Spanish or whatever, you can see words that look familiar. There was nothing that looked familiar to me in the Turkish language. And while I did my best to kind of learn, it was still really hard to pick it up. But they were so kind. And how often do people come into our country and we don't really give them that grace? We expect them to know our language and to know our culture. And while it's important to do the research, I definitely did my research before we went to Turkey. I was very impressed by how welcoming and how loving they were to us, especially for not knowing a lot of their language. So I was really, really grateful for that and just how loving they are. But then after we did some of those coastal towns, we drove inland a bit to central Turkey to a place called Cappadocia, which is an amazing little collection of, it's like a district of small towns that are built from these like fairy chimneys. You have to look it up online because it's really wild. Just these stone little triangular dome looking things that people lived in. We visited this underground city there where the Christians used to hide out from Roman attacks, and it was totally wild. It's like 8 stories that they built underground. 3 of them had collapsed, which was a little uncomfortable being that you just keep going down and down and down and down, and then you're like, oh my gosh, well, is this other floor gonna collapse on me? I don't know. But it was totally wild, totally beautiful. But beyond that, that was kind of our journey. And then from Cappadocia, we ended up driving back to Istanbul. And that's when we flew out. So it's a very incredible journey. Very, very cool. And some of the most beautiful, magical things happened to me along the way. These beautiful messages were given to me on this trip. And I wanted to share some of those because they felt very divine, very, very divine. Just little gifts of clarity to kind of move forward for me and my own personal journey. And so maybe they will serve you as well. The first one starts in a town called Uludeniz, which is the southern part of Turkey, this beautiful beach town. And something that's kind of a famous landmark there is a blue lagoon where actually Mike and I paraglided off a mountain because I'm a crazy person over this beautiful lagoon. You can also see that on my Instagram, face to fear of mine there. But one night I was laying in my bed, and you know when you just have those moments where you're just like, where's my life going? Where am I headed? What am I doing? What's my focus? And you kind of, you know, go down these rabbit holes and you're just feeling overwhelmed. I was having one of those nights. I wasn't able to sleep, and I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just sitting there going, oh man, here we go. Here's one of the anxiety moments for me. And when that happens, I started to say a prayer. And I prayed to God. I said, God, I hate feeling like this. And I'm not trusting you right now for some reason. And it's making me anxious. And I know that I need to trust. I need to trust. But if you wouldn't mind, God, I need an audible. I need to know that you're here, that I'm divinely guided. I mean, it was one of those things, you know. I was at that point in my night. And so I said amen. And I went to sleep. The next morning, we got up and we drove to this town. Well, we were headed to another beach town called Kosh, and it was about 2 hours away. And you have to drive through all these winding, winding roads of these tiny, tiny towns to get to Kosh for the way that we were going. And along the way, there were a bunch of hikers who were hiking this like super long hike called the Lycian Trail, where they hike, I think sometimes up to like 3 months, and they camp along the way. It's a beautiful hike, but very long. I don't know if I could do that. That's pretty intense. But some of the hikers will be hitchhiking along the way. And there was this girl, and she was so tiny. I mean, I thought the wind was going to blow her over. She was just so tiny. And she's standing on the side of the road by herself with a big, you know, backpack on her back, and she was hitchhiking. And I was like, Mike said, yeah, let's pick her up, you know? So I'm like, all right. So we pick her up, and her name was Rada. She was from Ukraine, and she's living in Turkey now, but she is from Ukraine. And she was the most gracious, wonderful human I have met in a long, long time. And she was exhausted. I think she had been hiking for a week at that point, and she was missing her partner, her boyfriend, and she was ready to go home. And little did we know, she thought we were going to a town before Kosh. And come to find out, we mentioned to her that we were going to Kosh. And she had like these tears of joy in her eyes, just like, oh my gosh, can you take me to Kosh? I didn't realize you were going to Kosh. I thought I was going to have to find another, you know, trip to get to Kosh. I just want to go home, but you're going to Kosh and that's where I can catch the train to blah, 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 you know. She was just over the moon excited. And she said she had been, she woke up this that morning with an intention. She said, okay, God, I need to get to Kosh. I don't know how I'm going to get to Kosh, but I trust that you're going to get me to Kosh because I have the intention and I'm going to start walking toward Kosh. And I believe that you'll get me there. And then we came and we stopped and we picked her up and we were going to Kosh. And so she was taking, that was her sign from God or from the universe that, you know, she was being divinely guided. And then that was my sign and my audible that I needed so badly to know that if I set an intention, and I've known this in the past, but it just, it made me feel so guided in this moment because of the prayer I had said the night before. Just to know that if we set an intention and we start walking in that direction, we will be met and we will be honored and we will be guided all along the way. We are never, ever, ever alone. And I loved that so much. It was literally like God kind of came down and or that she was my little angel. I don't know. We ended up stopping at this a little beach town just to kind of take some pictures. And there were these little, you know, shack kind of kiosk things where people were selling their goods. And there were two little dream catchers there. And she bought me one and she bought herself one. And so now we both have dream catchers. I have mine hanging above my bed. So now I know every morning when I wake up that if I set an intention and I start walking, that I will be met. And same goes for you. I thought that was a beautiful story and I just wanted to share that with you because I think that's true for all of our lives. My second story comes from a town just after Ulu Dennis. It was a town called, I think it was called Chirali. And it was right by the ancient ruins of Olympus, which are beautiful. You should totally look it up. This town is incredible. But I went and I laid on the beach one day. I was just sitting on the beach with Mike and they had the beaches there are like rock beaches, right? And so I was just laying there. And so I built these stone towers with the rocks. And I said, oh, I wonder how long this will last. You know, you stick a big rock and then you get one a little bit smaller, you stick it on, and then a little bit smaller, stick it on top of that one, and so on and so forth till it's small at the top. That's what it looked like. Well, the next day we came back out to the beach and I was looking for that tower. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And I swore, I was like, God, we're in the same place. Where is that rock tower? I tell you guys, I could not find it anywhere. Mike was searching for it. I was searching for it. And so we were like, whatever. Okay, fine. The tower just, it's gone. Either someone knocked it over, the waves hit it, whatever. So now fast forward to the next day. So this is 2 days after I built it. That was the day that we were leaving this beautiful town, which I never wanted to leave. But we had to. All good things must come to an end, I guess. But Mike was packing. He was doing something. I don't remember what he was doing. But I got this sudden pull to go down to the ocean. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to go. So I walked down there. There's barely anyone down there. And there was a sign that said Serenity that was at kind of the top of the beach, right above kind of where we had been laying the day before. And I hadn't noticed that sign before. And I loved that. I thought it was beautiful. And so it's like, I literally had the thought, okay, I'm going to follow this sign down from the beach. I kid you not. I walked from that sign down to the beach and was brought exactly to my little stone tower. Like it was sitting right there. I didn't have to look for it. It was literally at my feet. And I'm like, wow, like I had such a pull to come down to this ocean. And I sat down and I had my eyes kind of filled with tears because I realized there was a message in this. Another divine guided message. I learned this. I learned that there's purpose in the searching in life, and that the searching is actually part of the purpose. And what I mean by that is that the purpose in the search is that if I wouldn't have searched the day before for this rock tower so diligently, the story of how I found it wouldn't have meant anything. I just would have found it and it would have been like, oh, cool, there's the rock tower that I built yesterday. It wouldn't have been clear. But the fact that I searched so hard for it in the same area, mind you, okay, couldn't find it. And then the next day was divinely led exactly to it with no searching at all. It just makes me believe that the purpose of the search was to realize that I'm divinely guided and was divinely led to receiving this message, which is a message that I so desperately needed, because for so long, I have spent so much of my life seeking and searching for answers and meanings, and I get so impatient when they don't come right away. But I realize now that the tension that we feel in the seeking and in the searching is the catalyst for our expansion and for our evolution, which is our purpose. Tension and discomfort are the most incredible teachers because they lead us to that expansion and to that evolution. So we shouldn't be afraid to sit in either one of those feelings. Where we're uncomfortable can serve as an incredible mirror that reflects back to us where we're still not free. It reflects back to us those places that we need to grow and that we still need to expand into so that we can live more fully and more expressively as ourselves. So if you're searching for meaning in your life, or you're like me and sometimes you wonder where you're headed or why you're headed there, there is such purpose in this search that you're on right now. And the searching is the purpose, because your purpose is to keep expanding and to keep evolving into more of who you truly are. And the tension that comes with that search is your greatest mirror and is your greatest teacher. Like I said, the tension and the struggle, it's not a bad thing, it's a gift. The opposition is there to show you where you need to grow. So embrace it. Don't resist it. Because in that resistance is the fear. And like I mentioned earlier, look what happens when you embrace the fear and you let yourself move past it. The magic that happens there. When you can stay open, the people you meet, the lessons they give you, the divine lessons, the opportunities that open up. And then once you get to your destination, once you find what you're looking for, the search and the struggle will all make sense. And then you'll realize there's purpose. There's been purpose all along in this search. And the search is the purpose.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.